Church, I love church. It's so important to be here. I don't have the stats with me, but I know statistically it's quite healthy for you to be here. And so thank you so much for coming. We're so excited to get into the Word. If you have your Bible, please open it up to First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. And then we're going to get into it. And then as you're heading over there, I just want to give a quick reminder. If you're looking for information about the programs we run here weekly, there's a really awesome bulletin board right outside. It gives you like a whole week in a snapshot, like youth, build group, and all the other things that happen in our church. And also, you can download, here's a plug, download the Church Center app. Our youth will help you out. They know how to work them phones. I will help you out. The Church Center app is a great way to get connected to our church, and it actually makes a lot of things really seamless. And it's paperless. So if you care about saving the trees, go for it. All right, awesome. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. Before I read, I want to ask you, every single one of you, to be brave in this moment, okay? I'm going to ask you a question. And if this applies to you, I want you to raise your hand, okay? Are you ready? Have you ever asked God, God, what is your will for my life? Come on. Yeah, let's go. Thank you for being brave. Oh, amen. Today, we're going to tackle the question of what's God's will for your life. Woo! Yeah. Excellent. All right, we're going to read it. 1 Thessalonians. I said that kind of weird. Here we go. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. What does that mean? It doesn't tell me what job I'm going to have. It doesn't tell me the place I'm going to. It doesn't tell me specifically what the Lord has for me, but what he has for all of us, and no matter what we do, is for you to be sanctified. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, he wrote this letter to the church in Thessalonians. And for the past three chapters, he's giving a good pat on the back to the church. He's like, hey guys, you're doing good. We came to you with the gospel, with the message of Jesus Christ, and you are abounding in love, full of faith, and you're impacting your community. And then at the beginning of chapter 4, Paul like changes the conversation. He's like, keep doing this more and more. Keep loving people. Keep having compassion for people. Continue to do it more and more, but you're not done. That's not where it ends. Because God's will for you is to be sanctified. So that begs the question, what is sanctification? The definition of sanctification is the action of making or declaring something holy. So God actually wants to make you more like him, more holy, more graceful, more compassionate, more loving, not perfection, but more towards Jesus. Because when we get perfection in our mind, that puts a lot of pressure on us. And it's actually not about you being perfect. It's about you being more like Jesus. That's the point of sanctification. So when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, in that moment, you're justified, which means Jesus' sacrifice has been applied to you. You are saved. You accept Jesus, like, Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God and you died for my sins. Right there, when you accept him into your heart, you're justified. And then as you live your life, as you walk out your faith, you begin the process of sanctification, of you becoming more holy. And that's two things working together. It's the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, working on your heart alongside your active relationship with God. Because if you have no relationship with God, you have no momentum to actually deal with the baggage in your life. And don't get me wrong, counseling is good. Do it. But for the deeper issues in your life, God knows and he cares. And his Holy Spirit, alongside your relationship with him, being proactive, that's sanctification. Because as you come to church, as you hang out with believers, as you pray, God will highlight things in your life that you need to take care of. He'll highlight the things in your life that are really holding you back. And that's hard work. It's not fun. There's a lot of tears, a lot of emotions, a lot of apologies, but you become more like Jesus, and that is more, that is so beautiful. Imagine going into a situation full of grace. Instead of, you know, flipping off somebody on Columbia Ave, you're like, hey, that's okay, buddy. Like, you can go. More peace in your life. Less stress in your life. There is still stress, but now you have Jesus to help you lift that burden. You're not alone. So sanctification is super important. And then the relationship piece, there's a responsibility on you. There is a responsibility for you to take ownership of your stuff. So my challenge to the new believers in the room, for those of you who just got baptized, for those of you exploring faith, you've accepted Jesus, my challenge to you is be prayerful about the things that God wants to work on you. Because it's actually for your benefit. He's not this father that's looking down on you, saying, oh man, you're a mess, you need to clean up. No, he's coming down to you saying, hey, I love you, I care about you, so we're gonna deal with this because I want a better life for you. So that's my challenge to new believers. To other believers who have been in the faith for a long time, my challenge for you is, how are you spending your time lately? Are you in devotion with the Lord? Or are you a little more distracted with the things of life? I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just trying to say the relationship is still ongoing. You read your Bible, pray. I tell the youth all the time, I'm like, read your Bible. It's so important. It changes your life. And so sanctification is a lifelong journey. I think sometimes we can get really caught up in the seasons of life where we're like, God, this doesn't make sense. Why am I going through this? Like, this is uncomfortable. I don't like it. What's going on? And I know there's some people in this room, mature believers, that can testify to, in the seasons of life, when they were going through something really challenging, like grief, suffering, loss. They didn't know in the moment what God was doing. But then after the fact, they can look back on that situation and think, like, God, I couldn't see it in the moment, but now I see you use that situation to work on me. For me, a little bit of my testimony, I was born with a learning disability, so I have a really hard time reading and writing. It's a big challenge, and it caused a lot of insecurity in my life, especially growing up. When I was in school, I would sit there in class, and I'd be like, I can't understand what I'm reading. Like, what? Oh, I don't get it. It wasn't until like grade 5 or 6 that I actually finally could spell my name. Like, and this is stuff that I don't like to talk about, but it actually highlights God's goodness. Because when I stepped into Bible college, which pretty much all you do is read and write, I knew it was going to be a significant challenge. But I knew that God wanted to work on the insecurities that actually held me back. Because I would be so self-loathing. Lord, I'm this or that. I'll call myself all these names, and it actually hold me back from being part of the kingdom of God, of being part of preaching the gospel. Because I would be so wrapped up in my own baggage that I actually couldn't see the person in front of me who needed some prayer. But I praise God, because in that sanctification process, I was actually able to deal with some things in my heart. And now I do my best to, when I walk into a room, I'm thinking about the youth that are coming in, that are going through a hard time. And instead of focusing on my own stuff, I'm focusing on them. Because I love them. I care about them. So how does God sanctify us? He sanctifies us when we're just in life, when we're going through the hard stuff. Because if you have Jesus, life's still going to be hard. If you don't have Jesus, life's still going to be hard. Jesus doesn't automatically fix all the things in your life, but he is the one who cares and sees you and knows you and loves you. And it's really fitting that we just finished our Christianity 101 series, because I bet there's some people in the room who have thought to themselves, okay, Lord, I'm a new Christian, or I've been a Christian for a while, but I'm doing my best to love and serve you, but what's your will? What's your will? What do you want me to do? What's going on? And I think, especially for me, I got really wrapped up in thinking, oh, it has to be like a very specific thing. Like, Lord, you're going to call me to that church, to that job, to that youth budget, to that cool blah, 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 blah. And I would get really wrapped up in my mind about it. But God cares no matter where you are, because you have freedom to choose what you want to do. He's not going to force you. But there are moments that we see in the Bible. For example, the Apostle Paul. Before he was Paul, he was Saul. He was persecuting Christians, not living a very awesome life. This is before he knew Jesus. And then on the road to Damascus, he had a very powerful, transformative moment with Jesus. Jesus showed up. He's like, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Absolutely, we have moments in our life where the Lord speaks, and it's powerful, it's evident. But the rest of us, the 95% of us, sometimes we have moments where it's like, Lord, I don't necessarily hear you speaking to me. What's your will? I'm a bit confused. But he uses your workplace, he uses your family, he uses your friends to highlight things in your heart that you need to deal with. And his presence, the Holy Spirit is described as a comforter, comforts you in the moments of pain, comforts you in the moments of joy. And like I said, there's people in this room who can attest to, in their own testimony, being like, God, I didn't understand what you were doing in the moment, but I can look back and I can see how you used that situation to work on me because you love me. Because you actually care about my character, my conduct on earth. Because if we say we're Christians, if we say we're Christ followers, we're taking on an ambassadorship for the kingdom. When I'm at work and I have coworkers who come up to me and they're saying, hey, you don't work on Tuesdays. Like, where are you at on Tuesdays? I'm like, oh, I work at a church. I'm a youth pastor. And then like half of the responses are kind of like, why? And then the other half is like, that's cool. Tell me about that. So I'm like, okay. So I'll tell you about Jesus, tell you about the gospel. I've had some really fascinating conversations with some really cool people who don't know Jesus. But when I first started working at that job, I was mad. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to do this. When I came to Castle Car, you didn't say I'll be delivering UPS packages. What's going on, man? I don't understand. Like, I was so, like, livid and upset and just, like, so wrapped up in my own stuff that I couldn't see that God is actually going to use me in that company to maybe save even one person. And even if it's just one person that gets saved, amen. 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 You know what I'm saying? So wherever you are in your life, in your workplace, in your family, in your friends, be prayerful, church. Be prayerful in how you can represent Jesus. Because there's people out there who don't represent Jesus very well. And that is really sad. That is really sad. But I love Casa Gar. I love the small town vibe. Because when I say I'm a youth pastor and I'm bringing up the next generation to be more like Jesus, I actually have to live that out. Like, what if one of you saw me at Safeway just being like a donkey? You know what I mean? Just like being rude to the cashier, like throwing stuff. This is too expensive. Like, you know, just being crazy. You would be like, I'm not sending my youth or my kids to his youth group. He's treating those people like crap. No way, bro. So do you know what I'm saying? Like, your character, your conduct actually really matters. Because when you take on ambassadorship and you don't treat it with the weight, that's taking the Lord's name in vain. It's not just about language. It's not just about saying, oh my gosh. it's actually how you treat other people. So when I'm driving down Columbia and somebody cuts me off or somebody does something silly, my reaction wants to be like, what the heck? But now my reaction is, it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Because what if that person saw me be rude to them, and then that person shows up this morning to church, and they're like, he's preaching? You know? So that's why God wants to sanctify you. He wants you to actually be genuine. Praise God. Praise God. He wants you to be genuine, not a fake Christian, not a Christian just online, but a real person in your community, loving people well. So that's why God wants to sanctify us, is because it's actually really important for the kingdom of God, and people can come to know Christ. And if you want, if you've been prayerful about leading other people, about making disciples, about being a strong leader in your family and your community, you actually need to build your character, which means less gossip and more building people up. It means more compassion for the people who have wild opinions. It means responding to people rather than reacting to people. And that's challenging. It is challenging. Because there's moments in life where somebody has said something about someone that I love, and I want to like defend and attack back. But I'm like, no, man, I'm representing the kingdom. Every time I say I'm a youth pastor, that actually has weight. So every time you say you're a follower of Jesus, that has weight. And I don't want to overwhelm you. I know this is heavy, but I love you too much not to tell you what's important. And I believe in this room, we're capable of holding that weight, but not on our own, because of Jesus. The Holy Spirit gives us the strength to do that. So whatever I'm saying, it's with the assumption that God is helping me. I didn't get through Bible college just because I studied really hard. I got through Bible college because I studied really hard, and I cried, and I prayed, and I asked for help, and I went to the people I trusted and said, I need some help. How do you make a good paragraph? My grammar stinks. Where do I put this comma? Amen. So character matters in the kingdom of God. If you want to be an effective leader, you need some integrity. You want to be an effective leader? Don't hesitate to pick up some garbage. If you want to be an effective leader, pray. Humble yourself before the Lord. All of these things I just mentioned is sanctification. And that is God's will for your life. So no matter what you do, no matter who you're around, it's really important how you treat people. Because I'm sure all of us have seen, you know, Fox News or CNN or whatever. And you see how the world treats itself, how it treats other people. And it breaks my heart. So what's your choice? Paul says in the second half of verse 3 that you should be sanctified. You should. So God is not going to force you to take this journey. But I promise you, if you take this journey, you will experience freedom. You will experience generational curses broken. You will experience a peace. A good example of sanctification is marriage. I love my wife, Tanisha, so much. And a lot of you in this room know her very well. And she is amazing. And since we have been married, there has been things in my life that have come out. And Tanisha's like, we should talk about that. We should probably deal with that in my responses, in my attitude. And marriage is a great example of how sanctification works. Because now I have an accountability partner that's always with me. So when I say dumb stuff, you know she's gonna be like, probably shouldn't say that, sweetie. I'm like, whatever. So it's your choice. It's your choice, because God's will for your life is to be sanctified. God's will for your life is to enjoy life more. But if you want to enjoy life more and be an active member of the kingdom of God, you have to take some ownership. You have to be reflective on yourself and not highlighting the faults of others, but being thoughtful and prayerful about your own baggage. And I promise you, it's to your benefit. It's to your benefit. And by extension, it benefits the kingdom of God. Some of these relationships you have in your workplace, you've probably had them for years. Some of these people that you know who don't know Jesus, you've probably known them for a long time. But be prayerful. God, use me today to represent you well. God, show me what I need to work on to represent you well. And I believe that New Life Church can be that. And you are that. I'm so encouraged by this church. I love small towns. This place is great. Because every time I go to Safeway, I'm seeing three or four people that I know. And it's awesome. Because it reminds me that the church is wonderful, but it's not just in here. It's out there. So how are you treating your family? How are you treating your loved ones? How are you treating yourself? Because I have moments where I'm weak and I'm crying. And I say, Lord, I'm a failure. Lord, I'm all these things that I can list off right now to make myself feel better. But God doesn't want that. He doesn't want you sitting in the rocking chair forever. He wants you to get up and go forward. I would love to invite the worship team. When I was a kid, I think I was like 10 or 12 years old. And I played soccer for a few years, 3 or 4 years, loved it. And then my dad, he approached me. He said, hey, Graham, would you like to try hockey? And I'm like, yeah, hockey's cool, sure. Like, you know, a 10-year-old, 11-year-old kid, I don't know a lick about anything. Anyways, so we're like, okay, sounds good. So we sign up for a hockey team. Like, I get all the things, and I look super cool. And I'm part of a team now. And then we actually start playing. Turns out, I'm really bad. I'm not that good. My feet are killing me. I'm crying, like, every game. I kid you not. I was like that kid that was just like, nah! Like, you know, like, no disrespect to loud kids. I'm just saying I was like crying and not like, I hated it. That's all I'm saying. I hated it. And I came to my dad so many times. And I'm like, Dad, I want to quit. I don't like this. Can we just go? And my dad, time and time again, came to me and said, Graham, we're not going to quit because I love you and you committed to this season, so we're going to finish it well. And in the moment, I was furious. Like, Dad, why not? I just want to quit. It's like, no. Because my dad had the foresight to see that if he allowed me to quit, he would be fostering an attitude of when it gets hard, I can just quit and it's all good. But that's not actually healthy. That actually doesn't benefit you. And when I went to my dad again and again and again, I want to quit. He's like, Graham, we're not going to quit. We're going to finish. And that has served me well because I'm married now. I can't quit on Tanisha when things get hard. No, I'm serious. And that's the same with God. Because not only did God save you, he loves you so much that he actually cares about what you do on earth, and he cares about your character. He's saying, Ben, I don't want you to give up. I want you to grow and pastor people well because I love you. He's saying, Dan, I want you to serve your employees well. Don't give up. He's saying, Jim, when you're at Habitat for Humanity, be like me. Love people well. And I care about the things that hurt you. He's saying, Tiffany, when you're at Safeway, when you're doing your job, be prayerful. He's saying, Karen, I know you're in pain. I know there's a lot going on, but I'm with you. I have not abandoned you. This is God speaking to us. I would love you guys to stand. I also want to invite the pastoral team. So if you're a pastor of this church, please make your way to the prayer corner. Today, we're going to take some time to respond. We're going to take some time for us to have our hands open, not just physically, but spiritually. Lord, what are the things in my life that I need to let go of? God, what are you sanctifying in me? And I think some of us in this room have been running for a while. I don't mean to point you out. I'm not going to say your name, but I think you know who you are. So I want to encourage you. This is a safe place. If you need prayer, please don't hesitate. Be willing and open to say, Father, sanctify me. What are the things in my life that you want to chisel out? Because when a sculptor, I think that's what they're called, when a sculptor has a rock, they chip away at the things to make a masterpiece. They smooth the rough edges to make a masterpiece. And that's what God is doing in your heart. He wants to chisel out the things that are holding you back, not just for your sake, but for the people who don't know Jesus. So I'm going to pray over us. And please, if you would like some prayer, and if you want to pray for others, please do so. We're in no rush. And if you have to go, God be with you. He loves you. But please keep your conversations just right in the lobby, okay? Just out of respect for people who need to take some time. So I'm going to pray over us. Lord, I thank you so much for your love. God, I thank you so much that not only did you send your son Jesus to die for us, to take our place, not only did you save us from destruction, but you love us so much that you want us to grow and be more like you. You are a loving Father, and I pray for the people in this room who need some prayer, who need some encouragement, who need some, you're not alone. So God, I just pray that we would respond and take our time and not rush what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.